Oh, Minneapolis, St. Paul, you don't know how badass you really are, do you? It is the Matt McNeil Show for an ungodly snowy day in the Twin Cities. Matt, Eric here. It is falling out of the sky. I'm going to guess, is it at inches an hour at this point?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Coming down crazy.
It's very snow-covered roads. It is a mess. Here's why I say we are a badass town. Most people right now, they went to work today. There's a lot of things about Minnesotans which the rest of the country doesn't. You know, people that basically, you know, that having to deal with a harsh weather is something that their little fragile psyche can't deal with. You know what I mean? And you know, you get into Minneapolis, St. Paul, and it's like this morning I said, you know, how many people were angry this morning that for God's sakes they said there were going to be 5 inches of snow last night. This is not jeopardizing my life, damn it. And that's how dare you make my morning commute safe and secure? It is pretty obnoxious out in the roads right now. Just absolutely obnoxious. But you know what? We're used to it. I mean, how many people are at the office today? Like they went in, they knew. They knew what was coming. They went in. It's Minnesota, a place where we say, hey, no ice balls to the face. To the face, just to the face. You know, you can throw an ice ball anywhere else on a child in this state. Not the face. Come
body
on.
Shots are fair.
No. Below the neckline, you know, but anything's game like that. And God forbid you can actually, you know, pull up their shirt and jersey and get a tag in on the kidney because, yes. Oh, the magic of it all. We're hardy folk. If you have never been through this stuff before, congratulations. You've earned your Minnesota stripes. Just get through this. Don't crash your car. Take it easy, go slow, give yourself plenty of time. And I do mean plenty of time to get wherever you need to go. And thanks for being with us. It is a mess out there. They're saying, let me pull up radar here. It's just a bit, isn't it? It's you know, the snow is starting to move to the east. There's still some heavier stuff down south of Shakopee, south of the split in Burnsville. That's a pretty rough stretch right now. But they're anticipating most of this, I think, to be off into the west here by latest 6 o'clock, and then we just have frigid, frozen temperatures coming our way. About 6 o'clock or so, they're anticipating this being gone. But it's a lot of snow. I went out and shoveled earlier today. 4 inches easy.
Yeah, around noon, I wiped off my car. And then when I was leaving at like 3, there was at least 5 inches.
Where are they? And this was down in Burnsville?
Yeah, Burnsville.
I think the South Metro is getting a little bit worse than the rest of us. I mean, that's why I was looking at Marler's totals online a little bit, and it was looking like the South Metro, Lakeville, that area was getting a little bit worse.
I didn't know if I was going to make it out of my neighborhood.
Well, you know, we got you here. Now we just have to get you back to the neighborhood. But once again, the couch is comfortable here. I don't want to explain how I know that, but they're comfy. It is moving on off. It is going to get pretty cold tonight, though. Low of minus 11. That's right. The temperature is going to bottom out on us. Right now we're at 16 degrees. So we're going to lose 27 degrees between now and early morning tomorrow. And with that comes a wind, west-northwest around 15 miles an hour, gusts up to 30. So whatever you see on the ground, that's going to go back up in the air again. It's going to be a pretty nasty little day tomorrow. Sunny, cold, minus one tomorrow, and then Friday, minus 15 at night there before we start warming back up again. Not as nearly the cold stretch we had before, but it's a little bit of everything. We had that ice storm, then we had snow, then we had a day off, and then we have now a foot and a half of snow. Well, I'm not going to say that. I mean, I don't know what the exact total is. I'm going to say in Hopkins, I'm somewhere at least 7 inches of snow. Mm-hmm. At least 7. I went grocery shopping this morning. I said, I looked out the window. I'm like, no snow. I'm going to go grocery shopping. So I went grocery, and I came back. And even back then, I was like, wow, this is coming down fast. Be careful. And I'm not joking. There are a ton of accidents out there. and just and there's and you, what it is you get people who it never ceases to amaze me the amount of people that can look out a window and see snow coming out of the sky at the rate that it's coming out right now and still try to leave for the office or wherever they need to go at the same exact time they always do. It always amazes me. I mean, yesterday I barely made it here. I left 20 minutes early. Today I left at 30. I left at 2:30 just to get, 4 miles. And I was still here 3 minutes before the – is that the news firing off? I better get inside. Oh, and by the way, thanks. Can you tip my Sherpa crew out there that helped me get up the driveway here?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. God. That is an adventure every time. That is an absolute adventure. And thank you, City of Eden Prairie, for putting all the snow from Valley View Road right there. I appreciate it.
It's a nice little obstacle. You feel accomplished when you make it in.
Expected Dwayne Johnson to be the Rock giving me, encouragement. We're on his show. 952-946-6205. I'm not sure where this is going to go, but Matthew and Egan wants to chime in today. Welcome on in, Matthew. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Matt. I haven't talked to you for a while.
Hey, good to talk to you, my friend.
The number one news story over the last week has seemed to be this blackface incident in Virginia.
Yes.
With the governor and the attorney general. And it made me start to think a lot about not one mention for a whole week on any media source about what's the difference between that and the war paint that a whole bunch of people participating in football games and teams that are named after Native Americans. And they make fun of their culture with war paint, the tomahawk chop, headgear, Chief Wahoo, and all these different things. And not one, nobody's willing to debate what and explain to me what the difference is between that and blackface.
Well, no, what they're willing to do, Matthew, is they're willing to go, it's like, that's not a big problem. Or else, and that's all they'll say, or else like, you're being too sensitive, little snowflake. No. You're exactly right, Matthew. Now, first of all, let's talk one thing about, and I don't care if you're those kids in Covington in Louisiana, or in Kentucky, rather, at the Covington School, the kids that basically got in the face and harassed the Native American veteran. They want to say, oh, that was just a sports event. It was a blackout night at a sports event. They were wearing blackface. You can say it was a sporting event. I've looked everywhere. I can't find the official definition of the difference between blackface for a sporting event and blackface as a racist symbol. They seem to be one and the same. So we can condemn them. We can condemn the Virginia governor. We can easily do that. And we should do that because, for God's sakes, it's 2019. We should not be there. But your point is exactly the same.
Matt, that's my point. My point is that it's equally as wrong, but nobody, none of the pundits, whether they're African-American, they have not brought up the sensitivity of Native Americans.
Matthew, thank you very much. And I appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much. You know, you're exactly right. Matthew's exactly right. And the reason why is because I just think that people just don't want to see it. This brings up an interesting issue that I wanted to address today, and it had to do with and this is off of Bluestem Prairie. Question of equal access. Let's see here. Let me pull it up here. Question of equal access outdoors outreach out of a bill debate. A Lily News staff writer Matt Hudson reports on a remarkable moment last week in the Minnesota House Environmental and Natural Resources Committee. The proposed bill was straightforward. It would create a grant program aimed at getting kids into the outdoors. The bill's author, State Representative Jamie Becker Finn, DFL from Roseville, gave the bill the title No Child Left Inside. She introduced it to the House Environment and Natural Resources Policy Committee on January 30th. Becker Finn told the committee that to maximize reach, the grants in the bill should focus on finding new groups of would-be outdoors enthusiasts. That means low-income families, immigrants, and people of color, all of whom have statistically lower access and participation rates in the great American outdoors. Facing pushback about why existing state programs fall short, she said that the best conduit into these communities are often the organizations that are already there. We cannot just keep thinking that we know best and that we can send someone from the dominant culture into another community when they say, listen to me, this is what you need to do. That community is obligated to trust and engage with that person, said Becker Finn, who represents House District 42B. The tone of the committee's discussion changed. Some committee members took offense at Becker Finn's comment and said as much. This is Dale Lewick, Republican from Aiken, who got a little sensitive. I can tell you your program is not going to go very far if you're going to do is go around and label people you don't know, said State Representative Dale Lewick. Label people you don't know and anticipate how they're going to deal with human beings. I find your comments about the dominant community very offensive. Okay, I want to read that last line one more time. I find your comments about the dominant community very offensive. Oh, really? Do you know who else might find it offensive? The non-dominant community. They might. I don't know if you've cracked a history book there, Representative, but you might want to, because let me be honest with you. White European dudes, we kind of suck, and we've been sucking here for a few hundred years. And yes, I do indeed mean that. Slavery, what we did to the Native Americans, what we're continuing to do with this frickin' border wall. A bunch of pansy snowflakes that basically feel as if they're trying to protect some Mayflower pact. I'm a white guy. My mentality is, I'm going to live my life. You go live your life. I hope you're happy in doing it. I'm not going to try to dominate your life in the same sense as I wouldn't tolerate you trying to dominate my life. And I am not so belligerent or you know, self-insulated that I'm not going to go out there and say, you know, that you know, white guys, you know, sure, we got a few bruises and scrapes over the last few hundred years, but you know what? Our heart's in the right place. Come on, please. We fought a war over slavery. We have white Republican men, predominantly white Republican men, some white Republican females as well, working their hardest to undo every aspect of the Civil Rights Bill. There is just an unbelievable, astounding amount of evidence that minority groups should never trust white people, especially white men. They shouldn't. And you know, it's funny because we, in the white culture, we really do. Like Thomas Jefferson, he was great. Well, he slept with his slaves and, yeah, he was a slave owner and he had some issues. We don't want to look at that part. We just want to kind of brush that aside. Abraham Lincoln, great president. Well, he hung all those Native Americans who, you know, dared to get upset about the fact that all their land was constantly being taken away by the white Europeans. Heaven forbid. You know, we so candy coat the history of this country. We don't want to look at it as a whole. And so when Lewick gets all upset, is how dare you not say thank you to the dominant culture? He doesn't even see it. That clown doesn't even see it. And to his point, to a point, I have been part of groups like this. My kids were part of a sports league, and we noticed that the kids in the sports league were almost all white. And it's not like we didn't set aside equipment, that we had donations, and we would waive fees and stuff like that for needy families, whether that was minority families or low-income families. We wanted to try to get them involved. So we decided to have a little roundtable discussion at a Caribou Coffee one morning. And I walk in, and I sit down, and I look at the guys, and I said, the first thing I said to them was like, okay, guys, white guy, 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 and I point to myself, white guy. This is not the group to fix this problem. We should have some minority input here because a bunch of white guys sitting around the table talking about authoritatively about the minority communities is insanely misguided. Is insanely misguided. I stand by Jamie Becker Finn. I mean, it's, you know, it's it, not only would this open things up to other organizations, which would be great, but as well, you know, it's time we start understanding. I mean, I think that if we need to start understanding that there are numerous minority groups in this country that still have zero trust of the white community. And if we can get some kids out into the rural parts of this country and outdoors programs because they're being approached by people that they don't, instinctively distrust because of hundreds of years of mistreatment, well, is that really a wrong thing? Back and forth, official committee parlance. Lewick demanded an apology. Becker Finn said there was none that was needed. Representative Dan Fabian, Republican from Roseau, said he was troubled by Becker Finn's comments. State Representative John Purcell, Bemidji DFLer, said, tried to smooth everything out. Everyone's heart was in the right place, he said. Near the end of the hearing, Representative Aisha Gomez, DFL from Minneapolis, was exasperated by a law, particularly by what she called hostility towards Becker Finn's bill presentation. I'm surprised at the lack of basic understanding about the history of our country, where we are, and what realities that people in Minnesota are living with, as indicated by some of the conversations that we had today. Well said. But that's because they don't have to, and because they're terrified, and they're building a system where the actual thought of them actually having to acknowledge that maybe, just maybe, white culture isn't the greatest thing that ever happened in the world, they're getting panicked. And the reality is that you can't solve problems unless you acknowledge the problems you've had. If you don't remember history, you're destined to repeat it. Don't be a belligerent idiot, Lewick. Seriously, don't be a belligerent idiot. Acknowledge the fact that there are quite a few Native American groups in this state who, shock of all shocks, don't trust white people. And you know what? As much as I wish I could erase that, I understand it. I completely understand it. They have that right. And my God, maybe if we acknowledge it, we can start to try to solve the problem, as opposed to saying such asinine things as, I find your comments about the dominant community be very offensive. Really? Really? Whatever, dude. All right. And Mike, hold on. I'll get your call after the break. 952-946-6205. One plea I will make with everyone out there. If you are listening to me right now and you're driving, do not call. Okay? Call when you get someplace safe, and then we can chat. All right? Drive and focus on the road and just listen to this belligerent idiot. That's me. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Food nourishes us. We need food to live. But how are we nourishing the food system? Well, actually, we're throwing a bunch of chemicals and we're making the dirt dead, and then we're adding nitrates to the water and we're causing dead zones in the ocean. Oh, and we're also causing climate change. We do that with every bite we eat. But we can create something different. We can switch to a regenerative system. And that's what we talk about every week on Food Freedom Radio. So tune to Food Freedom Radio Saturdays at 8 a.m. or anytime via podcast. Food Freedom Radio on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
My favorite meal of the day is breakfast, and for morning vittles, I head to Milton's, 36 and Douglas in Crystal. My favorite is either the rib scrambler, scrambled eggs with ribs, portobello mushrooms, jalapenos, and pepper jack cheese, or the steak and eggs. My wife loves the pepper jack creamy grits and the stuffed avocados with poached eggs cradled in avocado halves. The kids love the French toast or the stuffed French toast filled with fruit and cream cheese. Top it off with coffee done my way from the Milton's Coffee Bar, and I'm ready for the day. Breakfast is waiting for you at Milton's, 36 and Douglas in Crystal.
Hi, this is Matt, owner of Green Home Doctors. Approximately 80% of the homes in Minnesota are not sealed and insulated properly. A typical home has air leakage equal to a large open window. You shouldn't need a space heater and extra blankets to feel comfortable. If you do, that's a sign that your home is not properly insulated. Take advantage of the rebates and great incentives from CenterPoint and Xcel Energy before it's too late. To learn more about the savings, visit greenhomedr.com.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Blue State Ball, March 2nd at the Blaisdell. Tom Hartman's going to be there. Are you ready, people? Are you ready? John Fugelsang's going to be there as well. Fugelsang, Hartman, us? Okay, sure. Why not? Eric, are you going to be there, Eric?
I'm making a surprise appearance.
Oh, dear God. Make sure the clothes are on this time. All right. We're going to be there once again. It is at the Blaisdell in Minneapolis, March 2nd. Is the day, 5 p.m., the VIP event starts, 6:30 general admission, and once again, adding to the roster, John Fugelsang will be back in Minneapolis, St. Paul, for the Blue State Ball 2019. Go to AM 950 Radio, am950radio.com to get tickets. Let's go run the calls here. Mike is in Columbia Heights. Welcome on in, Mike.
Hi, Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hey.
Pretty fired up today, aren't you?
Well, I find it to be, I hear this. And you know, when was has Lewick ever gotten this upset at the discrimination that's happened against Native Americans in the history of this country? Has he ever gotten upset about what you know, the blackface that's been going on? Has he ever gotten this upset? But you point this stuff out and say, hey, maybe it might just be best if we're trying to get kids into the outdoors that we have, you know, groups that are geared towards reaching out to these minority communities that are not, you know, just basically white male oriented groups and getting them out there. And he acts as if, how dare you? You know, it's belligerence for it's purposeful, willful ignorance. And I have zero tolerance for that.
Well, I got to confess, I put on blackface one time. When I was in college, I starred in Othello. I had to put on blackface for the character.
What year was this?
In the 70s. Now, what happened to... remember when Prince Harry put on the Nazi outfit? Or how about when... was that offensive? Damn right it was. How about when Rudy Giuliani and somebody else dressed up like women, and they were exaggerated with lipstick and you know, just... totally exaggerated, you know, that offended somebody, you know. So I think that this thing with the blackface and everything, I think that it's just the right-wing Republicans making hay instead of facing it, putting it away. You know what I mean? I don't think they should resign, because I think it's all politics, especially the lieutenant governor.
I'm gonna
hang up, and I want to listen to you on my headphones.
No problem, Mike. I'll give you a second to get your headset back on. Thank you very much. I think he should resign. I think he should resign under this guise. Blackface is horrible, and it's wrong. If he would have come on out early on and said, you know what, there's something that happened in my youth I am not proud of, but I'm going to fully condemn today, is that I was in a high school yearbook in the 80s or a college yearbook in the 80s, and I was in blackface. It was wrong. It was disturbing. And there is no excuse. I apologize, and I'm willing to sit down with anyone and talk about it. Okay, fine. It was the act of doing it, and then it was the clear attempt, in my opinion, to cover it up and prevent that from coming to light. And then the insane defenses of it all. We have a bad history of, and I was reading about the history of blackface. It started actually in the 1800s in traveling minstrel shows, and that they basically white people would put blackface on and exaggerate African American features, and it was done for laughs, and yeah, if you listen to old Amos and Andy, yeah, that's wrong, that's disturbing, you know, and Al Jolson, that's wrong. I mean, but you can go to stuff like Was it Breakfast at Tiffany's? They had the you know, was it the neighbor that was in yellow, what technically what they call yellow face. It was a white guy pretending to be Asian. You know, it's painful to watch even a movie like The Lone Ranger, which I like The Lone Ranger. This was only made a few years ago, and here's Johnny Depp playing Tonto. And what? You know, it's if you don't want to point it out and you don't want to acknowledge that this is a little bit of a problem, then I can't help you, because it's like the Washington football team name, the one that begins with the R, and I don't want to say it because it is such a god awful offensive name, and we know it, and yet there are people who will fight who will die on that hill to make sure that name stays there. If we don't wake up from this, we're never going to solve ourselves. Penny is in Minneapolis. She wanted to chime in on this as well. Welcome on in, Penny.
Hi, Matt. I really appreciate your taking my call.
You got it.
I would like to comment. I've been talking to people I work about this also, with black supervisors and friends. The first few days, I totally agreed with you. I was all for everything on TV said he should resign. I have totally changed, and please let me tell you why. I really, truly believe that people can change. We all make mistakes. And I think we're being too hard on something that may or may not have happened. The guy's work has been very good for his constituents. Everyone seems to agree. There was one woman on the other night, a black woman who's known him since childhood. She totally supports him. I think we really need to forgive, and I think we need to accept that people can change, and whether he did it or not, he's sorry about it, and I think we should let him stay, him and his attorney general who did the same thing.
Well, and Penny, I appreciate the phone call. Once again, and I'm not going to in my mind, the larger crime here is the blackface. But Mike in Columbia Heights, who's not, to my knowledge, a celebrity and a big political figure or anything like that, he admonished himself about a 1970s play where he put blackface on to play Othello. It would be one thing if he would have come on out and said, "Hey, I made a mistake. I was wrong. This was inappropriate. I shouldn't have done this." And you know, he didn't do that. And now everyone's scrambling. Now, don't get me wrong. I was on Fox News. I, Matt McNeil, was on Fox News. And when I brought up, you know, Steve King, when I brought up Mitch McConnell proudly standing in front of the Confederate flag, when I brought up the Covington High School kids in blackface at a basketball game, they quickly, we're not talking about that, Matt. We're not talking about any of those. Well, we should. If you want, you see, in the real problem that we have is this, is that we love focusing on when the other side screws up, but we don't like looking at when it's our side that screws up. The reality is this, if it was a Republican governor, would you be saying forgive and forget? If it was a Republican lieutenant governor, would you be saying, you know, that was ancient, that's years ago? Or would you be just as angry at them and demanding that they resign? Because you know what? My gut feeling is that if it was a R instead of a D next to the name, that you would be out there insisting that they resign, that it doesn't matter, they should go. But once again, when you look back at that, when the story I was talking about with Bluestem Prairie, and you talk about, you know, I'm getting really late here. I'm going to have to take we're going to have to take a commercial break here. But and Lynn and Lawrence and Charles, hold on. I will get your calls here in just a moment. But I want to share with you an interesting story I have from a friend who works for FEMA and went out to a Native American reservation and her experiences out there and how it really was just a lack of trust of the white culture. And it was pretty shocking, but reality is that was it's been created by the white culture. Thanks, Todd Colet, for sponsoring AM 950 this week. You can too, 952-946-8885. Todd's band, Just Folk. They've got new music over on CD Baby. Find the link on Twitter and Facebook and enjoy. Back after the break. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Do you or someone you know need dental care but can't afford it? Join Shamblot Family Dentistry for their 13th annual Dentistry from the Heart event, a day of free dentistry for those in need. All patients will be seen on a first-come, first-served basis. No appointment required. Dentistry from the Heart provides free, limited dental care to those in need. This event is for new patients only. Shamblot Family Dentistry has given away more than $320,000 in free dentistry through Dentistry from the Heart. The 13th annual event will take place on Wednesday, February 13th at Shamblot Family Dentistry in Hopkins and in their new St. Paul location at 400 Selby Avenue in the Blair Arcade. Starting at 7 a.m., Dr. Shamblot and his team will treat as many patients as possible. It's first come, first served, so patients should arrive early. For more information about this opportunity for free dental care, visit ShamblotFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. You know I purchase my vehicles with Rudy Luther because I love my Toyota Sienna, but it's the extra things which make me a loyal Rudy Luther customer. A great example, the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchased, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores and $5 off the Works car washes. The Luther Advantage Cards keep you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Oh no, you shattered your cell phone. Now what? Listen closely. We know you're lost without your phone. Bring it to Computer Revolution today. We'll fix it and have you back online before someone asks, "Where are you?" Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair has over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones, same day, 7 days a week.
Cafe Lattes, eat local Minnesota.com restaurant of the week.
Is it?
Victorian Grand to St. Paul. Fantastic.
Is that like a question?
I wasn't sure. I don't have my book in here. I'm pretty sure that's it. It is. Needless to say, it's delicious. If you haven't been out there, fantastic food. The pizza and wine bar are sensational. And as a matter of fact, a great, nice get-together. If you're over in St. Paul, Victorian Grand, you're looking for a nice little place to get a nice light bite, there you go. Plus, the coffee is great, and the desserts are fantastic. Cafe Latte, the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Now, that's about the... Like I said, if initially he was to come on out, I mean, I spent 2 years of my youth in rural Georgia, and in the Buford area, and I didn't realize that culture, the culture of that existed down there existed. I was shocked at it. And the white people who you know would still actively mock and you know rail against the African Americans and you know they keep to their side of the town, we keep to our side of the town and that sort of thing. And you're like, I couldn't believe it. And I know that there were people that did you know blackface and would joke about the KKK and stuff like that back then. And I'm not saying that was right in any capacity, but if they did do that back then, if they did do that and they're trying to run for office, it's one thing if they say, you know what, before I get started here, I want to talk about youth because we all make bad choices when we're younger and I did. And I want to get out in front of this and let everyone know that this is what happened. There's a difference between that and, you know, that's me. It's not me. I don't know what it is. Oh, I did a Michael Jackson impersonation. What? Who? And like I said, I understand that some of these people have done some very good work as in their jobs. But I'm going to ask you the question, what would be your stance if it was an R next to their name as opposed to a D? Let's run the calls. Lynn is in Minneapolis. Oh, actually, let's go to Lynn, hold on. Charles in Georgia. Let's go to Georgia. I'm presuming the state of Georgia, correct, Charles?
I'm in Atlanta metropolitan area.
Beautiful. Where at exactly in Atlanta?
Stone Mountain.
Oh, God. You and I could talk. Oh, my God. I mean, until we get rid of that monument, I don't know what we're going to do. But
I'm a mile from it. You can see it from my backyard.
Oh, that's a nice reminder. Yikes. Jeez.
Another thing, Buford is not rural anymore.
No, it's not. Lake Lanier got gobbled up by the metro.
It's suburban. It's part of the Atlanta metropolitan area.
No, I love Atlanta. It is a brilliant city, and I have been down there twice. I can't. It has grown exactly how a city is supposed to grow, and it is magnificent. I really do like your city.
Yeah, I'm not originally from here. I'm originally from Connecticut, but I grew up in Ohio, and I lived everywhere. But getting back, the point I want to make was I'm learning this whole blackface thing, but learning that there are a whole lot of white, I'm African-American black. There are a whole lot of white people out there who seem to have skeletons in their closet, and they're saying, calling up saying, well, you know, I played Othello, and that's not offensive, and, you know, I'm 58 during the 1980s. Amongst my crowd, blackface was not, you know, wasn't a thing. You know, blackface was something we didn't even talk about. I mean, it was just, you know, nobody was really even aware of it. But now, all of a sudden, we're learning that there are a lot of college-educated people who think it's funny. It's a joke. Ha, 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 I'm black. And it just seems ironic that people are saying, I don't, you shouldn't, these people shouldn't step down because they realize now that in this skeleton, their closet, they may have to atone for something.
Well, Charles, can I ask you, do you remember in the 80s, there was a movie with the white actor C. Thomas Howell where he played a kid in blackface who went to college and
yeah, that was called, I can't remember, I can look it up on the internet, but
I actually have it pulled up. It's Soul Man.
Soul Man.
The one who played in it was, what's her name? Cheech and Chong's daughter.
Ray Dong Chong.
She was a black actress, you know, big. And, you know, it was a story about the kid who was going to Harvard or something like that. He had affirmative action thing. And I never saw it because, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't see too many movies because, in my opinion, they don't represent black Americans too well. I see a movie once every 5 or 6 years. So, you know, as a black American, you know, I don't see these movies. They don't represent me in any capacity, you know, even the ones who they claim that are supposed to be about black people. But this movie you're talking about, yeah, it was during the 80s. And
we had a discussion back then. People knew it was wrong back then, and people were saying, my God, why are we doing this? And there was supposed to be, I always felt like that was a real wake-up moment that we had something that was truly offensive, and we all said, wait, this is not right. And yet here we are still yet today. And like I said, we can go to Covington High School in Louisiana, in Louisville, the Kentucky kids, who were the ones that were facing down that Native American veteran in Washington, D.C. And you see pictures of them from like 4 years ago in blackface at a basketball game. We know better. We just choose to be bad.
I grew up in Cincinnati. You know, when I was a teenager, moved to Cincinnati from suburb of New York City, Stamford, Connecticut. And Covington Catholic is part of the Cincinnati metropolitan. It's right across the river.
Okay.
And the mentality, the tenure of Cincinnati, Cincinnati's probably the most Republican. The city itself is progressive, like most cities in the United States. Like I'm sure Minneapolis is a very progressive city. But you get outside the suburbs, you have that mentality, you know, so to speak. Cincinnati's probably the most Republican area in the country. Republican presidents go to Cincinnati to announce wars. Or to announce, you know, during their campaign. But Covington Catholic, yes, they haven't, it's very, you know, it's not too many black people out there, you know, and there's a few. Ironically, Covington Catholic, there's a woman named Sarah Garner. You ever see the movie Beloved?
Yeah, I believe so. I thought I did.
There's a Toni Morrison book, Pulitzer Prize winning, about American history, about a black woman who was a slave. And
no, I did not see that one.
It was based in that area. You got to see the movie.
All right, I will.
It's very apropos to today, right? Because it talks about abortion, it talks about slavery, it talks about, you know, how you can never understand the love of a woman, a mother and a child.
And Charles, I want to step on in here because, first of all, I appreciate the call from Atlanta and stuff like that, but I do also have full phone lines and I want to get to them. But no, you're right. I mean, I am more than willing to have, first of all, I'm a white guy. I think my point on this is kind of worthless, if I can be honest with you, in the sense being I can condemn it, I can be ridiculing of it, I can say, you know, at least you're being forthright with it and talking about it. But the reality is that this is something that I'm not of the minority group that's offended by what you have done. I can look at it and say, whoa, that's offensive, but I don't know how much validity I have, you know, when with Charles calling on in here, you know, if he says he's offended by it, I have no right to get in that way. I have no right to say, no, you can't be. You have every right to be. And like I said, the movie Soul Man with C. Thomas Howell in it, where playing a white guy who basically goes in blackface to college. The movie, we had a huge debate in this country about whether or not it was appropriate. And I distinctly remember people saying, oh, no, that's not appropriate. Even in Reagan 80s at Edina High School, they were like, oh, God, no, 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 no. Yeah, I went to Edina High School in the Reagan 80s. Yeah, that's me. I know. But that even they were like, okay, that's unacceptable. So, I think that we have to understand for a white culture to do things that are offensive. And then when people are legitimately offended, look at them and say, oh, you don't have the right to be offended. Until it's my political opponent who has done it, then we're all offended. But then the minute someone points out your side of the political aisle being doing the same thing, you say, wait a minute here, where, you know, you're getting off topic. We all see it. Just condemn it. We move forward. I'm not asking for everyone to be perfect in their world, but you can acknowledge and admit your mistakes. And then you can move forward. And some people will choose not to forgive you. And that is their right. But the reality is that people respect people as long as they're honest about it. And that's, I think, the key. And it's like, if you're honest, if you're truly honest, saying, I shouldn't have done this, this was bad, this was wrong, well, you know, it's unfortunate that we have to get to this point where we still yet today think caricatures of other minority groups is somewhat okay or acceptable in any capacity. Let's go to Lynn now. Lynn is in Minneapolis. Let's run the phone lines. 952-946-6205. Hey, Lynn, thanks for holding.
Oh, sure. Say, Matt, I think the people in the yearbook controversy are feeling a need to dye their roots.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean?
Well, they want to, I mean, what did they grow up in? You know, how did they grow up? And it continued even when they got out of their parents' houses, right? Yearbooks, these are college yearbooks.
Yeah.
So, well, what I mean is, I think that they really want to obscure and mitigate, you know, on some glaring examples of what their roots are.
Well, and the reality is that white culture in the 1980s in the South, you know, that was tolerated. Well, my parents lived in Greenwood, Mississippi for a few years. They actually had the other side of the tracks. There were tracks. It was in the city, and there were tracks. And on one side of that town, the roads were nice. Everything was manicured and headed. And on the other side of town, well, that's where they lived. And you're like, really? Are you guys serious about this? And they are. In the 80s, it was there. And just because a bunch of white kids saw Different Strokes or some other TV show that had, you know, African Americans in it, doesn't mean we cure these problems. It doesn't mean we solve them. And the first step in doing this is realizing, wow, this is horrible. We shouldn't be doing this. And then, you know, allowing the offended group to basically express themselves how they want to without telling them they have the right to, without, that's on them. And that is true strength, realizing humility, realizing the mistakes that you've made and asking what can we do to make them right. That's strength. Not, you're silly, you're a snowflake, oh, the PC police have come. Shut up. You're part of the problem, you're not part of the solution. Lawrence is in St. Paul. Welcome on in, Lawrence.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know what? I'm going to give the Washington Redskins, who had a 9-5 season, I'm going to give them a break. I understand that the Washington Redskins are going to drop that offensive name next year. They will now be known as just the Redskins. Ta-da!
Wow. That was a long way to go for a bad joke, but all right. Anything else, Lawrence, or are we done?
No, I just want to address Penny now on a more serious note.
Okay.
If you subconsciously look at Penny's statement, she said the following: hey, I started off against it. I thought he should resign. And then I had a second. Penny had second thoughts. Your caller a couple of minutes ago. She had second thoughts. She says, "Hey, look, he apologized. Everything is all right now." Now, see, that is an example of how far we have to go. Penny is a great girl, I'm pretty sure. But that is an example of white privilege when all is needed for a person that offended on the deepest level of the black community. All you got to do is just say, "I'm sorry." See, Penny thinks so less of us, and that's not... And I'm not saying.
And by the way, Lawrence, if I can step in here real quick, I don't think it was Penny you're referring to. I think it was a previous caller, but needless to say, one of the callers had called in and said, "I was initially mad, but I forgive him." But I just want to make sure we're correct. And Penny was talking about, I think, more, you know, the people are ashamed of their heritage, of the white heritage, which basically was discriminatory, and that's why they were hiding it. But I think you were talking about an earlier caller. But please go ahead, Lawrence. I just want to clarify that.
Yes, the earlier caller. Sorry, Penny. Yeah, that typifies white privilege. And I'm not saying it in a negative way when I use that word. What I'm saying is that when you're born into privilege. You're born not even associated with black people, so you can't even think subconsciously in your mind how deeply offensive that is. You can't the person can't even think that how our lives are that important, where an apology suffices. See, and Matt, you are absolutely right. Now, I'll just say this, and listen, Matt, you're absolutely right. What he should have done, Governor North, what he should have done was exactly like you said. Hey, look, I messed up. This is what I am now. But if I need to resign to make things better, I will. That's where he messed up at. He shouldn't have contrived this story. He should have continued, and like you said, and then rectified the situation. And one last point. We need to stand, and I'll say this, Matt, you also said that you can't fully understand blacks because you're white. I take it that you can, and I'll tell you how you can. Because if you as a white person will look at every situation through the eyes, exactly like you're gonna not like this. How would I react if Hitler was doing this to the Jews? Then you will have a feeling, you will know how it is, how a black person will react, because we will react exactly like a Jew will react to Hitler. You would never hear a white person say something like, even acknowledge Hitler, because they know it's wrong. Please use Hitler as a reference.
All right, Lawrence, I will say this. I think Northam actually probably should have said something at the very beginning of his political career, frankly. But he, you know, because he was at medical school, so at some point he went into politics. So I think that he should have, you know, talked about it back then. But, you know, understood. Thank you for the phone call, Lawrence. We're really late. 952-946-6205. Reminder, Valentine's Day coming up next week. Milton's on 36 and Douglas and Crystal. They are taking reservations for all size groups. Usually it's only for larger groups, but they're taking them for two. Get your reservations for Valentine's Day at Milton's next week. Enjoy. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
The Blue Wave finally happened. Hey, it's Brett from the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, and I think it's time we have a repartee about all our hard work with the Blue State Ball on Saturday, March 2nd at the Blaisdell in Minneapolis. I'll be there along with my co-hosts Hunter and Doug, and so will Matt McNeil, Ellie Krug, and our headliner Tom Hartman, with more sure to be added. So let's celebrate the Blue Wave with the 2019 Blue State Ball. Again, that's Saturday, March 2nd at the Blaisdell in Minneapolis. Tickets at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. I've been telling you about my friends at Snap Construction, who are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior construction company in the metro. Don't just take my word for it. Take a look at all their reviews online. Winter is the most cost-effective time of the year to complete your construction project. A majority of Minnesotans choose to have their work completed on their home in the summer when they should be enjoying the weather. As a result, the demand for labor in the summer is much higher. The most cost-effective way to improve or restore your home is in the winter due to the lower demand. Right now, Snap Construction is offering an additional 30% off of labor to the AM 950 listeners on your next construction project between now and the end of February. Call 612-333-SNAP and mention AM 950 for an additional 30% off. As always, Snap Construction stands by their work with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Don't wait to get a free estimate by calling 612-333-SNAP or find them online at snapconstruction.com. Financing options available.
Total Dog Company exists for people who are serious about their dogs. People who want the best nutrition and the best gear for their dogs. Total Dog Company's mission is to provide high-quality, practical food and gear for dogs and only dogs. Nothing frou-frou or frivolous. Nothing with suspect ingredients. No cat food or wild bird food. Totally dog, from head to wagging tail. Find us in New Hope off of 169 at 9432 36th Avenue North and at TotalDogCompany.com.
Just to be very clear, I want to make sure I say this because I think I said the wrong name. Dale Lewick, Representative Lewick, Republican from Aiken, is the guy that said, "I find your comments about the dominant community very offensive." I want to make it was Lewick is the guy that said that. 952-946-6205. The St. Paul man was charged with attempted murder and assault for allegedly shooting a Minneapolis school bus driver in an apparent road rage incident amid a snowstorm on a busy interstate. Kenneth Lilly, 31, of St. Paul, has been in jail since Tuesday in connection with the gunfire that wounded a 78-year-old driver that afternoon along Interstate 35W near Chicago Avenue near downtown. An 8-year-old Minneapolis School District student was seated in the backseat of the bus and was unharmed. Lilly said under police questioning, he had fired at the stop bus through the windshield out of fear for his safety. The charge is read. He was charged with Hennepin County District Court with attempted second-degree murder and second-degree assault with a dangerous weapon, both felonies. He is scheduled to make his first court appearance Friday afternoon. The actions of Mr. Lilly were outrageous, and it was sheer luck that neither the bus driver nor the little girl were killed, said County Attorney Mike Freeman. And Minneapolis police are continuing their investigation. If we can add aggravating circumstances for a longer sentence, we should prove him guilty. We will do so. According to the criminal complaint, the bus driver, whose identity is being withheld by police to protect his well-being, was shot while behind the wheel at about 2:15 p.m. as he stood in front of the bus. The gunfire grazed the driver in the head and wounded his left arm, according to the charges. The driver was alert and conscious while being taken to an emergency medical center. The bus driver was trying to merge into the interstate when he collided with Lilly's car. According to the investigation, the driver said he was unaware of the collision, but troopers saw paint from the bus on Lily's vehicle. Lilly soon stopped on the interstate, walked toward the bus stop behind him, and was shouting at the driver while trying to get on board. The driver said no because he had a child on the bus. As Lilly walked towards the driver's side corner of the bus, the driver appeared to be trying to slowly pull into traffic. The complaint said traffic camera video showed Lilly walking to the front of the bus and retreating to a safe spot before shooting. Dear Lord. All right. More on this story tomorrow. Be careful. Seriously, be careful out there. It is a mess. It is going to be a very slow drive. Double, triple your time tonight. Get home. Hug the kids. Take it easy. All right. And thanks for all the phone calls. We are back. Doug and Hunter and Brennan next. Till tomorrow. See ya.